God, you are our hiding place and our refuge in the time of distress. We turn to you now, seeking comfort from the wounds of the world and power to face all our afflictions. Be present in our struggle and help us to rest in your eternal promises, that we might be fed both with the bread of the world and the nourishment of your word, strong to resist temptation and faithful in our worship of you. Amen.
Peace of God be with you.
And also with you.
Let's turn to one another and share the peace of the Lord.
Peace be with you.
Scripture reading for today, it is the Holy Gospel from the book of Matthew, beginning chapter 4, the first verse. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In addition, greetings to you from Man Lake, my wife Ann, my better half, who is back there with two of our three sons. Embarrassing. There we go. But we've moved to Man Lake now upon retirement from the Air Force. And Ann has gone up to Man Lake her entire life, but in the mid-70s, her family got a place of their own up there. But generations of her extended family had gone to Man Lake in the decades prior, yes. Bottom line, it's good to be back among the frozen chosen. We've got some melting today, so this will be the slushy chosen or something like that. We are blessed to be back in Minnesota, and the church calendar tells us that we have just entered the season of Lent. We just had Ash Wednesday, last Wednesday, and now there are 40 days until Easter. Lent is a time for us Christians to remember why we need Jesus and the work that he does for us. Now, part of our response might be to do one of the traditions of Lent and maybe give something up during the season. Chocolate makers have made their money in February on Valentine's Day, and they may have a bit of a downturn until, you know, the Easter baskets are set out and get the chocolate reserves moving again. But for us, a closer look at why we observe Lent and the scripture that is behind it is what we should do today. Now, Ann and I were on the road last week. We weren't with you. But Heidi and Sebastian informed me that Pastor Tori drew from the story of Adam and Eve last week. And we all know the story. Adam and Eve are placed in the Garden of Eden, and they're given everything that they need by God, and yet something goes wrong, and everything changes. Now, I didn't hear Pastor Tori's message, and I don't know what she emphasized last week, but I'm going to take a calculated guess and say that she did not say that women should be blamed for the fall. That's a guess. Okay. Now, I say that in jest a little bit, but we should remember that temptation can hit us in unexpected places. It can hit us in things that are more important than steering clear of the Hershey bars, you know? Take scripture, for example. Misusing scripture has a long and sad to say, strong history. Misusing scripture has been used to subjugate women. Misusing scripture has endorsed slavery. I once had a student of mine ask in rather coarse language, how, you know, in this reference to Adam and Eve, how could the different races exist if there were just, you know, one couple, Adam and Eve, as their beginning? The Bible, this book or this collection of books that tells God's love for us in Christ, has been used to justify our worst impulses. The tempter is very resourceful in the attempts to turn us away from the love of God. So today, we hear the story of Jesus in the wilderness being tempted and tried. And Adam and Eve are also tempted in their story, as you recall. Of course, different results. They did not withstand the temptation. But going back to Adam and Eve, some of this is head-scratching for us. Weren't they in a perfect situation in the garden? It says they were given everything they need. How could God's created people even have the chance to go against the will of God? How could they rebel? Theologian Douglas John Hall makes observations about this in his book, God and Human Suffering. First, he makes note that there were conditions in place within the humans that we might call imperfections. Adam and Eve had parts of them baked in by God that perhaps if we were serving on the creation committee, we would have said, let's leave those out. He names these four things, loneliness, limits, temptation, and anxiety. Genesis notes from the beginning, Adam was created with the capacity to be lonely. Remember the line from the story. He saw that the man was alone and it was not good. Hence, Eve got created. And we all experience loneliness and also limits. It's something that we chafe against, and so did the first humans. If you've been a parent, you know that testing limits is also baked into the human condition, and you see it from the earliest age. Advertisers know this too. Life without limits, they tell you. Just buy our car or use this credit card. And then, of course, God allowed temptation and the tempter who took the form of the serpent into the garden. Again, if we were on that creation committee, we might say, let's take another look at this. Keep that snake out of here. Yeah. And alongside the ability or the capacity for temptation is also anxiety. The tempter uses anxiety back then and now to great effect. Eve had what we might call FOMO, fear of missing out. I had to have that one spelled out for me, even though I'm used to a lot of acronyms. But yeah, the fear of missing out. We have that too. We wonder if we have enough. Are we going to be safe? Are those bad people over there going to take away our stuff? Now, throughout his life, Jesus experienced these same afflictions. Imagine the loneliness he must have had on his trip to Jerusalem. He knew what was going to happen. He tried to explain it to his close friends, but none of his followers or friends could wrap their minds around it or imagine what he was talking about. Jesus also had limits, as every human does. Yes, he could do miracles, astounding miracles, but he still got tired, he still got hungry, and he felt pain, and of course, in the end, he died. And Jesus was tempted. We see that today. Our story highlights temptation from different angles. He was alone in the wilderness. He felt the limits of his hunger. You know, that was one of the points where the tempter had tried him. And no doubt the wilderness produced anxiety for him. And yes, he had anxiety. I know I was anxious moving to the North Woods as a greenhorn. Will the septic freeze? Is the roof going to leak? Will it ever stop snowing? Right away in the fall it was, okay, how does one cut down a tree without becoming crushed by it or removing one's own limb? Yes. Now, we can imagine Jesus was tempted by the cares of his day. I mean, he was an apprentice carpenter, after all. And he could hit a nail hit your thumb with a hammer and worse. And especially in his last days before the cross, we know that he was anxious. Just reread the account of him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we know that this is true. So, like him, and how many of us at the desperate times in our life have asked God to please take this cup of pain and sorrow away? So, here we are, 1 March 2020. What are the forms of temptation that we experience? Well, we're tempted to fear. You can't turn on a TV or a radio without hearing about the coronavirus. We're tempted by material things. We try to acquire things and erect walls to amuse and protect us. We have balms and pacifiers of every sort. But what really gets us into trouble with our relationship with God are the things that push us away from God. When we deal with loneliness without God, it's misguided. When we strive against our limits without God, it's unhealthy, and we are very good at creating little idols. And when we try to pacify our anxiety without living as a beloved child of God, bad things happen. But thanks be to God, who came to us, also experienced these same temptations, and is a God of forgiveness when we stumble and fall. And finally, when we do mess up and misuse the good things God has given, remember, Jesus also died for that which we hold most dear. Think about it. Jesus was put on the cross by people who thought they were doing the right thing. The religious leaders thought they were silencing someone who was blaspheming God. The Romans thought they were keeping the locals happy in their conquered territory, and they thought they were guarding the empire. These are noble deeds, after all. In our day, we might hold up our good deeds to God and say, God, we are good people. We don't need much help, just, you know, keep the winds down and the river from rising too high, and we'll be just fine. That too is a problem and a sin. That's why we're called to simply proclaim the gospel of Jesus so everyone can see him. Tell the good news with words if necessary. Jesus is not our Savior because we're so good or we're so smart or because we successfully withstand temptation. Jesus saves because we are beloved children of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. It's time for us to share our prayers and concerns and joys.
I have a special joy yesterday happened to me. I don't watch, see Facebook or any of that sort of thing, but my John, who lives outside of the town, his oldest daughter has graduated, and she had mitochondrial disease when she was real young. So we're glad that she's lived to be this long, and she's taking care of five children. And yesterday she sent this tape of a little girl. That little girl couldn't have been 5, 6 years old. And she told the Jesus story better than anybody I have ever heard in my life. I mean, she started out by saying, you know, God is Jesus and Jesus is God. And she went on and on and on. And then his son, Jesus, died for us, so, and we shouldn't be, you know, sinning because a lie is a sin. I mean, and she was so good. I wish all of you could have seen that. And my friend Joyce down in Baxter, it goes in for radiation and therapy this week on Wednesday. So continue to pray for her.
As many of you know, we were away last weekend because our kids were skiing in the Berkey. And the previous week I asked for prayers because I knew it was going to be warm and I thought it was going to be a terrible race. Well, it was grand. It was so fast. They completed it in half an hour better than their best time. So they had a really successful race. Does anyone else have anything?
And since you've got this guest pastor in place, I'd ask that you indulge me. When, from my tradition, I'm Lutheran, by the way, when we do prayer petitions, and then I will end a petition by saying, Lord, in your mercy, and I would ask that you would respond with, hear our prayer. Let's try it one time. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
First time. Oh, yeah.
We worship with the Lutherans.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's yeah. I hope they're not too trying for you. Okay. All right. Let's incline our hearts to the Lord. Rejoicing in all the witnesses of the resurrection, let us pray in confidence for the church, for the world, and all who are in need. Lord, we ask that you unify your church and heal the divisions that keep us from proclaiming your love with voices joined as one. Help the Church of Christ in every land make your name known. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord, we pray for the places of the earth that are torn apart by natural disasters, earthquakes, storms, drought, disease, and floods. Strengthen first responders in times of emergency and fortify those who rebuild. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord, we pray that wars would end and violence would cease between nations and in our communities and in our homes. Be present with peacekeepers and those who serve in the military throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord, we pray for those who gather in fellowship. We pray for the ministries of this congregation in our community and throughout the world, that in all our service we see ourselves centered around Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord, we ask you wrap your arms of comfort around all who suffer in mind, body, or spirit. Especially we lift up those who are receiving medical treatment this week. Lord, we ask that you reveal your love through the care and compassion of those who serve people in need. Lord, in your mercy, striving to attain goals and who are exceeding them. Lord, we pray and we give you praise that your gospel message continues through the generations, passing from those who have lived their life as beloved children of God and those who are beginning in the early stages of their life. We give you praise that the gospel message will carry all of us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give praise and thanksgiving, Lord, for those who died in the faith and now sing praises around the throne of God, and that we be assured of the promise of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom as we pray the prayer you taught us. Our God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Take up our offering.
Yes.
company of all believers in every time and beyond time, we come to this table to know the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to God.
Let us give thanks to God Most High.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. We give you thanks, Lord, for his coming into the world to fulfill for us your holy will and accomplish all things. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come, for all is ready. us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. With you today, especially thank you, Heidi, for all the preparation leading up to today. It doesn't just magically appear, even though you're doing the Lord's work. Yes, some miracles take the shape of everyday coordination and attention to detail. So thank you very much. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor.